book of Ruth there in the Old Testament, chapter 2. Just going to read a couple of verses there and have a message tonight. We're just going to kind of use a verse here. And I will tell you tonight, we're going to read our text here, but we're going to come back to our text at the end of the message. So I know we're starting off here, but I will get back to it. And tonight we're going to talk about the perfect providence of God. The perfect providence of God. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. Book of Ruth, chapter 2. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Ruth, chapter 2. And if you're there, give me a good amen. All right, I think most of you are there. I'm going to start in verse 2, and we're going to read to verse 3. And again, we will read this text. I'll make a few comments, and we will come back to it at the end of the message, and I'll explain more about it then. It says in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Now, what I want to notice there in verse 3, "and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz." Now, a little updated language would simply say that she happened to come into the field of Boaz, is all that simply means. But I want to kind of look at something. I was reading some things about providence, and I'm going to define what that means. This wasn't an accident. It wasn't by chance. And it is important for believers. I like what R.C. Sproul said years ago. You know, God doesn't roll dice. What he means by that is God's not a gambler. He doesn't take chances. God has a will, has a perfect will. And when we're talking about tonight the perfect providence of God in light of what's going on in the world, we've got to keep in mind one of the keys to our happiness is to know this: God knows exactly what he is doing. And things don't happen by accident. God sees all things and knows all things. And if we really believe that, that brings a certain level of contentment in the life of the believer. And so I feel tonight, I just want to deal with this. I've been studying it some this week. And again, we're launching from here. But we're going to start off by defining what providence is, talk about it a little bit in the Bible, and come back to the story of Ruth at the end of this message. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We ask you, Lord, to have your way in the service tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your perfect providence. Nothing happens by accident. God, if it be in my individual life, if it be something going on in the nation, something going on in another part of the world that we don't even know of, God, you see all things, you know all things, you sustain all things. God, we can trust your providence. We can trust it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here tonight, when we're talking about the perfect providence of God, I first need to define what providence means. Now, sometimes we use that word, and I'm pretty sure you know what it means, but I'm going to define it here tonight so we understand what we are talking about. Providence is defined in our English dictionaries as the act of seeing and providing or preparing for the future. When we talk about the providence of God, what this refers to is God's foresight and power to watch over and protect and provide for his creatures. It's basically God in his sovereignty and all of his power being able to look after his created beings. Now, we as believers really get to experience great intimacy in the idea of the providence of God. There's a lot of people in this world who are not saved, and therefore, even though providence is still working, even though they have a free will, they don't nearly or recognize it like we should as believers. William Graham MacDonald put it this way: God's activity throughout history is providing for the needs of human beings, especially those who follow him in faith. Providence occurs because God cares about the universe and everything that is in it. And all through the centuries of human existence, we can look throughout the Bible, we can look at throughout history. God visits, touches, communicates, controls, intervenes, coming before and between man and his needs, providence should even make us to be thankful. It is the idea tonight that God is in complete control of what is going on. Nothing ever escapes the eyes of God. Nothing falls into that category. As R.C. Sproul would say, God's not out there rolling dice. He's not confused. Now, there are some that believe, and there are some that teach, they try to teach this, even though it's not biblical, that God doesn't know what's going to happen in the next moment, or God basically only finds out things when we find out things. That is not the case. The Bible does not prove that. The Bible proves that God has sovereignty, that God has foreknowledge, that God can see all the way into the future. Now, talking about this here tonight, we've got to talk about it in a little bit more detail about what we believe specifically as a Pentecostal church about the providence of God. Because if I'm telling you this here tonight, that God sees it all, God knows about it all, and God is even somehow involved in it all. A lot of times people get kind of caught up here. They say, well, Brother Derek, what about evil? And we know there's good, and we don't mind saying God is a part of the good, but is He the very source of evil? And we know that God is not the source of evil. God did not create evil, if you would, in that sense, but God knows about it. And even when evil occurs, God's even able to take things and orchestrate things to where He ultimately gets the glory. And here we find a great disagreement among those who are Calvinists and those who are Pentecostal. Calvinists believe what is called determinism. Determinism. And what they believe is that God is responsible in some way for every single event. And what they mean by that is, even the evil things, God is responsible for that. He is the source of that in some way. And really, when you ask them about evil and sin and all these things, they'll tell you it's a mystery to us, but we know God has determined for those things to take place. But for those who are Pentecostals, now we cite a little differently to them. When things go wrong, we use this phrase called the permissive will of God, which means God did not make anybody do this, but God has allowed it. And even when God allows things, He can ultimately get the glory even out of the worst of situations. He can work it out for His glory. Here in a Pentecostal church, we teach what is called, again, the permissive will of God. And we believe God is sovereign, yet He has allowed us to have a free will. God orchestrates, allows, permits, protects, and prevents things without taking that free will from us. I like this. I was trying to think of how to sum this up, maybe in a summary sentence or something, but this came to mind trying to understand it. God doesn't override the free will, though He may act against it at times. He's never going to override a man or woman's free will, but He sure can orchestrate events sometimes that your will is brought to a crossroads and you're thinking to yourself, man, I've got to make a decision here. Now, I was thinking of some extreme cases in the Bible where we see this, where God didn't override the will, but these people kind of felt hedged in, if you would, a little bit. Think about the story of Jonah. I mean, my gracious, that man right there, even though he made the decision, he had a will. I mean, God can create things and orchestrate events to where you realize this, you're kind of cramped up inside of a fish, but you still got a free will inside the fish. And look, even though you can't see nothing else, and at that moment, you know, I like what one preacher said one years ago. He said, my, what a fish, but think about that altar inside the fish. Look at Jonah coming to a crossroads where he willfully then commits repentance unto the Lord. Think about the story of Saul, you know, in the New Testament, who would become Paul. I mean, he's on the road to Damascus, right? He's got a free will, but God's going to get him in such a place that God's going to knock him off the horse and blind the man. And even though God never overcame his free will, he's sitting there at a crossroads where he's thinking to himself, either I'm going to yield to God or the things are going to get tough for me. So what I want you to notice there, and I could go to Judas and the Pharisees and others as well, you have a free will, even though at times God may act against it but not dictate what you do. He can bring you to a crossroads, can He not? Now, I remember when I got saved, there was a few times I felt like the only way I could look was up. But I had a choice, did I not? I could have rejected God and be judged.
But also God allowed me to realize that I was at a place, I was at a crossroads. Now, we're not going to focus so much on the negative side of this here tonight. We're going to focus on the positive side of this, the comforting side, if you would. We read all throughout the Bible about how God charges us to trust what I would call His providential care. His providential care. I mean, I could take you all throughout the Bible and show you this in numerous different passages, but I was thinking about there in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark as well, where he talks about those sparrows. It says this in Matthew chapter 10, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And he goes on to say, not one of them will fall to the ground, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the Father's noticing this. And then he goes on to tell us, you're worth more than many sparrows. And it says, the very hairs on your head are numbered. So what we understand there is this, is he talks about the birds, and he talks about the flowers. He's talking about God's providential care. And here tonight, what you and I should understand is the same God who controls the sun, it's the same God that cares for the sparrow, who is the same God that loves you and sent His only begotten Son that you and I could have eternal life. You and I ought to be encouraged here tonight that in the midst of perplexity, in the midst of complication, in the midst where it seems that things are going wrong in our world, in our life or in the nation, that we have a God in heaven who holds tomorrow. And He has providential care. He's working things out right now and you don't even realize it. He's moving on our behalf and you don't even see it. He asked us to trust His care. So brothers and sisters here tonight, we need to understand that God has a perfect providence even in this world. When you look at the providence of God and acknowledge the providence of God, all of life becomes a miracle to you. Every moment and every day, when you realize that your days are not accidents, and you being alive is not an accident, and you being in this world is not an accident, and you breathing and working where you're working, and going to church where you're going to church, and the opportunities and your neighbors, and I could go on and on about God's foreknowledge and His providence of having you right where you are right now. It's not an accident that you're here tonight. It's not an accident that God's done this or that in your life. Even your trials and your suffering, it's not an accident. God may permit things, but He always has a purpose. There should be no sweeter doctrine in our minds at times than this providence. God is working. Even when life seems non-miraculous, if you would, God is working. This makes all of life a miracle. God provides and controls. We can look at history of the nations and what's going on in our world today. It's not, but God's providence has a purpose. We can look at nature and His design. We can look at our individual lives. God's providential control is all around us, and we need to acknowledge it and trust Him. God has a perfect providence. If you go in the book of Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there. He would tell Jeremiah, I know my plans for you. Even before you were born, I know my plans for you. Romans 8 and 28, you know that God's going to work all the things out for our good. For those that love Him. Do you believe that here tonight? That God is working all things to my good, even the bad things it seems like in life, through God's overriding and permissive will. He can allow humanity to have a free will, and He's still going to be glorified when it's all said and done. We'll never look at Him and say, you've done us wrong. He hasn't. He's always outweighed the evil in this world. So we got many things in the Bible we can look to, some reassuring truths, if you would, about the providence of God. A few different things I'm going to highlight here tonight, and I'm not going to cover them all, but I'll name a few things I've known in my own life, and I've noticed this in the lives of others, how God's providence is working, and we see a value in this, and truths in this, and assurance in this. Number one, God's providence frees us from bitterness against others. You ever been done wrong? Hurt? And I don't know everybody's past about everything you've experienced, but I'm sure some of you could probably point to something in your past that devastated you at a point or time or two, where somebody in their free will said something or did something or hurt you. You may have asked the question, God, is there anything? What in the world is this? God, why would this ever be allowed? And I know sometimes we don't understand it all, but when God permits something, He also can bless you through what He permits. We look at the story of Joseph, and And my, what a story. What, I mean, when, before you get to where he's on the, in the palace and on the throne, you're really kind of wondering yourself, man, this is, what's going on here? He's a young fella, right? 17. All he did was have some dreams and get a little overzealous and tell his brothers about it. But he didn't have no cruel intent. Down into a pit. Sold into slavery. Integrity. Goes to Potiphar's house. Is exalted because of his integrity. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. He does the right thing. And now he's in a prison. So when you go from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison, we're looking and saying, God, is there anything in this that is of any value at all? Well, we know when we come to the palace in Genesis 50 and 20 when he's talking to his brothers, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto me for good. To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You see how providence works? I know it seems like when you're in the pit, you're wondering, my, there can be nothing good about this. When you're in Potiphar's house as a slave, nothing good about this. When you're in the prison, nothing good about this. But all of a sudden, there came a point in time in the life of Joseph that he's sitting on a throne, and the very men that sit there and betrayed him are looking at him or dependent on him, and he realizes this, God has put me here for a purpose to feed them during the famine, to preserve Judah, who's going to have the seed of Christ come from him. God always is doing something through his providence, though you may not see it at that time. Amen. We could go through stories about how God has brought something good from that which we thought was so bad. Now again, his brothers were held accountable. They were wrong. But God is still able to work his will in this world. Another thing about this is providence gives us a new perspective on our tragedies. I touched on this a little bit already. But this perspective is very needed nowadays, because most of the time in life, we are simply left to wonder, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to them? But this is at that point in our life that we realize that God's providence is so crucial. It doesn't always tell us everything we want to know, but God knows. Knows this, and he tells us, trust me regardless, I'm working on your behalf. I read this and thought it was an interesting illustration to kind of sum that point up. Now, I'm sharing you an illustration from Disney, so please, I don't do this often. I don't do that, and I don't watch a bunch, I don't know all these movies and things. But in 1937, I thought this was interesting, Walt Disney released its first full-length animated movie, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now, I don't know how many was alive, and Tommy says he remembers that. Oh, help us, Lord. But notice this, what's so unique about this, and it does give you a little appreciation for what they went through in that time to even make a cartoon. Producing an animated movie was a humongous task. Disney artists drew over 1 million individual pictures. Each picture flashed onto the screen for a mere 1/24th of a second. And as one would watch that movie run at a regular speed, it seems so simple, it seems almost normal. We have no idea all this went into it. But one writer put it this way, our lives are almost like that. God puts infinite thought, skill, and careful attention in every slide of our lives. You may not notice it all the time, and you may not see it because you're living life in real time. But there's been days and times his providence has been working while you're living and you don't even know it. Just like a million slides there, a million pictures play, and it looks so normal. I believe when we get to heaven one day, you'll look back over what you thought was a normal life, and you'll see moment after moment, day after day, providence after providence, miracle after miracle, protection after protection, provision after provision, God's sustaining grace working in your life. I believe it's just play out in front of us. That you were riding to work and you didn't realize that God prevented that wreck that you could have got in. Hear me. Or God allowed you to get into it. Now, that's the tough side of it. Because God sometimes in His permissive will allows us to go through something. Not that He always agrees with somebody. Not that God always agrees when somebody does something evil. We know He doesn't. But even when God permits something, God can get glory. And I believe once again when we get on the other shore, it's all going to make sense. Another point here tonight is providence gives us courage to stand in evil days. Right? I put it this way, and I've thought about this because, you know, I've got three little ones now. I said, Lord, we're living in an evil day, right? And if you're like me as a parent, you say, you know, we have three kids. God, they're going to come up on an evil day, right? But who am I to question? My wife would have more kids. But what I'm saying is this, it's God's providence they're alive now, all right? They're not an accident nor a mistake. And it's not wrong to desire to continue to fulfill the commands of the Lord to repopulate the earth. God's told us to do that. We shouldn't live in cower and fear. God's got providence. It's God's will that Chloe be alive. It's God's will that Braxton be alive. It's God's will that Lydia would be here in this world. And look, I'm thinking about this even as I'm studying this. As the Christmas before last, me and my wife went through that miscarriage with our little boy Jeremiah there. And our hearts were torn out. But now we have Lydia. God wanted Lydia here in this world, and He wants Jeremiah in heaven for a certain reason. God knows. I've got to trust His providence. Amen. Right? If Jeremiah was here, Lydia wouldn't be. Right? She wouldn't be. But God knows who needs to be here. Who I need to have in my arms in this world. And there's times in life, all I know to do is trust Him. Though I don't understand, I trust. Though I don't see, I believe. This is part of living by faith. It gives us the courage to live in hard times. We can even look at the state of America right now. But I would say this, because sometimes as a preacher, as a Christian, we would say, man, it would have been nice to live in yesteryear. Or I wish it was like the good old days. God has you living today. Right? God has you here now. It's God's providence that I'm here. It's God's providence that you're here. Live believing that. Another thing about providence is this. It forces us to make this choice to trust God by faith. What do you mean by that, Brother Derek? Faith is a choice, not a feeling. Many times in life, the natural man don't always like the process of providence, does it? Like again, once again, we glory to God when we've missed the wreck. But what if you get in it? What if you get in it? Is there anything that God allows to happen in my life that He never knew was going to happen? Okay, I'm saying that here tonight. But remember in the coming days, and I remember in the coming days when something doesn't go the way you think it should go, you've got to make a choice that God, your providence is not an accident. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, I don't find any comfort of thinking about a God who's confused all the time or don't know what's going on in my life. Even when tears running down my face, I've got to make a choice, God, I trust you. And when people say, well, can you explain it? No, I can't. I trust Him. God knows all things. God sees all things. Providence helps us to understand this. Now, I could show you, I could spend so much time here tonight trying to explain different parts of God's providence, but I'll just give you one verse in general to let you know, or a couple ideas here tonight, to let you know that God is working His will, even though humanity has a free will as well. Listen to Acts 2 and 23. Peter would say, Him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Let me show you two sides of God's providence here. Notice there what it read. Jesus died by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Yet, Peter's saying, you helped you wicked men put Him to death. So how is it that God's foreknowledge saw this, His counsel saw this, all while humanity has a free will and going about living every day? We wrestle with that in this world. We look at men and women with free will that do evil things and wonder, God, how can this be? But again, you've got to remember, nothing ever takes God by surprise. He's already seen it. He already knows about it. He knows how to counter it. He knows how to sprinkle enough grace on tomorrow to help you make it through. Amen. I think about Mordecai in the book of Esther. Mordecai goes to talk to Esther and said, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all these Jews out here, Esther. Don't think you're going to just live up there eating grapes and everything's just fine. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this? Esther, you won that contest and ended up in the palace for this time. And Mordecai had enough faith that even though Esther had a free will, she could stay up there in the palace and try to ignore the Jews. Mordecai realized this. If Esther chose to do that, God was going to protect His people another way. Why is that? God is faithful to His promises. So let me put it this way. Let's bring it a little bit to our day. Jesus said, I'm going to build that church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You believe it? What about when everything seems like it's going wrong, right? Everything seems like it's going south and people in their free will are doing this and doing that. Do you still believe He's going to build His church? How do I know He's going to do it? Because His providence and His promises, God's going to work in these last days, and there's not one thing the enemy can do about it. He can never stifle the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even there at the cross, maybe the devil thought, I got him, but God's going to take that and turn it on him. It's always going to be poetic justice. God's always going to win and have the last say. Now, I know this can get a little thick and confusing sometimes, talking about this, human free will, God's providence. But let's look a little bit there in the book of Ruth. And if your Bibles are still open, I'm not going to read a tremendous amount of scripture. And I won't be extremely long here tonight. We read there in the book of Ruth in verse 3, and I'm going to paraphrase and update the language just a hair here. Just listen. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come into the portion of field belonging to Boaz. Now, what's interesting here is, you know the story of Ruth in chapter 1, Ruth chapter 1. Naomi's husband takes his family to Moab. Why? What took place? A famine. Now, think about that. There was a famine. Could it be that God permits famines? Not that He authored them. Sometimes He could in judgment, and I believe He was judging Israel at this time. But sometimes a famine got to the place that Naomi and her husband, they go to Moab. But I want you to think about this. If they never went to Moab, if there was never a famine that drove them to Moab, Ruth would have never come back to the house of bread. Right? Famine, accident? Or does God see and allow and work His complete purposes in ways that we don't always understand? We know the story. After Naomi's husband died and Ruth the Moabitess lost her husband, Ruth chose to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Bethlehem. Ruth 1 and 6. Chapter 2, we find Ruth venturing into the grain fields to glean food for her and Naomi. She's basically a beggar, right? The writer records that Ruth just happened to come into Boaz's field. Now, I never read into this a whole lot until recently. Listen to how they operated in those days. The grain fields in Palestine in Ruth's day were not enclosed by fences, but they were open fields, and they had landmarks which were not always very obvious. What I'm saying is this. In other words, there was no sign saying, this is the field of Boaz, who is related to Naomi, who is the kinsman redeemer, who is also the son of what was her name? I'm sorry. Rahab, I'm sorry, the harlot, who is also the son of Rahab. There was no sign that said this at that time. But notice it said this, that she happened to come or transition into that field, and all of a sudden here we always see that he happens to meet her face to face, and we see that they get married. They're going to have a son who is Obed, and they're going to be the grandfather of Jesse, who is going to be the father of David, who was also eventually through his lineage was going to come Jesus Christ. This wasn't an accident. This was providence. Now, that's pretty big. What I'm telling you is this. There's times in life you do something or come upon something that you may think is just a normal day. And God in His divine will is working out His providence in your life. Right? I think about, And this is just me working through my own thoughts, because I know at this point in time in my life, God has me here at this church. I know that. I don't plan on going nowhere, no, nothing like that. So I don't say, when I say this point in time, I've got an expiration date or something. I'm here to God moves me. God, I don't know if God ever will move me. I may be here and maybe living a 19 Wheatland Drive as an old man. I don't know. I'm already an old man, but older than I am now. But I think about providence. How did I ever come to meet you, folk? How'd you come to meet me? And mercy, why would you ever vote for me? How did it work out? Because there was a man, one day I was on the internet, and somebody shared something. Israel Cho was preaching in Hampton, Virginia. I said, a church in Hampton? That's getting Israel to preach? They must be conservative. If not, they're going to run them out of town. They might not know who they got. Didn't know you were here. You definitely didn't know I was there. But I think about providence. And now I couldn't think about life without you. I'm serious. I couldn't think about life without you. Why is that? God's providence. It's not an accident. God works things for His glory. Think about Lee's testimony. It's providence, brother. Right? Think about how we come to meet them. You know, Brother Harold Hanks comes to church. Oh, there's somebody who knows Brother Hanks. It's called the Maurer family. Providence. I could go through family, friends, situations. What I'm telling you is this: nothing's by accident. And God's providential care and His providential guidance will continue to lead you on in life. But when you get over yonder into glory, you're going to look back at life. Say, God, You've been in control the whole entire time. Now, I get comfort in that because, again, the day in which I live, I often wonder, God, what is going on? But don't you ever get to a place that you're questioning the providence of God. Do you, America, acknowledge the providence of God in its founding? Many of its documents use the phrase God's providence. They realize that the folks coming over here on a boat, landing where they landed, preserving their life, it wasn't by accident. The establishment of America was not by accident. Our thrust in missions in America, I don't believe America is the new Jerusalem, but I know God can use a nation. But even her destruction and judgment, whatever may take place in the future, the revival you and I will experience. I could go on and on and on. It's all by God's providence. He will always get glory. One writer put it this way: do you believe in universal providence? The Lord cares for ants and angels, for worms and worlds, for cherubims and sparrows, for seraphim and insects. Cast your care upon Him. He that calls the stars by their names and leads them out by numbers. He is the Lord of hosts, and He is on your side. But also there's the providence over all saints. Precious shall their blood be in His sight. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Even the day that I leave this world, I know that God has providential care in place. There's a reason. There's a purpose. I can trust God. I've got to trust Him. I don't want to end up on a hospital bed saying, God, you don't know where I'm at and what's going on. God knows. John Piper wrote a book, and he's a little bit more deterministic than what I am, but he really teaches the providence of God very well. He writes books like this, Don't Waste Your Cancer. To those that have cancer, God knows where you are, sees what you're going through, and God is able to work in your life. So here tonight, I won't be much longer. I just want to comfort your hearts and souls tonight that God's providential care is in place. Nothing will ever happen to you that God doesn't see or that he is allowed to permit in some form that he can get greater glory out of it. Stand to your feet if you would. There's more that could be said. I could belabor the point. But I feel today that this has been a day of encouragement for this church. A much needed day of encouragement. Again, nothing's by accident. God allows things for a reason. It's easy to look around in this world and kind of wonder, I don't know what's going to happen. What's all this? And all a million different questions. But by this morning service, and Lord willing, I hope this message tonight has just done a little something for your heart there, that you can understand that God has a perfect providence. You believe that? Charles Spurgeon put it this way, the keys of providence swing at the girdle of Christ. He's in control. He's in control. And in the coming years, in the coming days, when you and I face darker days, darker times, sickness, and I even believe when you leave this world, and I believe, I try not to just preach, let's live it. Let's teach it, preach it, and live it. I told my wife, many a time before, I said, I don't know what the future may hold. If anything ever happens to me, don't question God's goodness. We serve a mighty, good God. Do we not? He's a good God. He's a good God. So what I want to do tonight, and we prayed this morning, I know God's touched us and moved, and I'm not going to belabor this. I want us to commit ourselves to His providential care. I want to do that tonight. I want you to do it out of your heart. Take this moment right now. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer tonight, you are working on our behalf. You're working on our behalf, Lord Jesus. Your providential care. It's not by accident that those who are here in this church, underneath the sound of my voice, God, that you have worked on our behalf. We can consider the sparrows and the lilies of the field and know, God, that you clothe and you take care of them, that the very hairs on our head is numbered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, in a time of confusion and perplexities, Lord, I commit myself to your providential care. That every Christian and every believer in this room here tonight would experience that. God, that you would just elevate their hearts above the shadows of this world. God, you would bring us, Lord, to a place of confidence, Lord Jesus. Like Joseph, we realize what those mean for evil. God can mean it for good. God can mean it for good. God has a will. He has a way. He has a direction. Holy Ghost, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, I want you to think about this. We're about to dismiss. I know we got the four-year baby shower. We'll make time for that. If the very hairs on your head is numbered, when's the last time you counted those hairs? It'd be easier for some than others, I know. But in reality, think about that. I know I got lesser hair to count than when I, some years back. But I think about that phrase, that idea, that statement. God knows more about me than I know about myself. All right? I think I know myself pretty good. But God knows me better. He knows my past.
There's things in my past I don't have a clue about. He knows. There's things in my future I don't know is coming. He knows. I just, what I'm getting to is this. Why wouldn't you trust him? And then I finally asked, where else are you going to go? What other worldview? What other place of confidence and assurity? What I'm telling you is you got it right. Live happy. Live joyous. And know that God has a perfect providence. Amen. I want to make sure Sister Missy's in place over there. As you go out, like I said, there's going to be a goodie bag. I didn't put those together. I don't know what's in them. But I know you're going to enjoy them. Have a good time. We do appreciate the Mason family. Mike, Shelley, Nicole, Nathaniel, we love you. We appreciate you and happy for the new addition. And I know it's different this year, but we love you from Abundant Life Tabernacle. And God bless you. Let's just, give them a hand clap. Yeah, let's do that. Appreciate them. And God's faithful. And you're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. God bless you.